Okay, it's star four.
Star four. I'll make a note of that.
Okay, so welcome everybody to a regular monthly conference call for the West Virginia Leadership Academy. We have a guest on here this evening. I'm JK. You all know me. I think we've got Dotsie, Ardella, Vanessa, Linda, myself, and our guest this evening is Amy. Did I miss anyone? Okay. Amy Detmer, what is your title at Doors Wellbeing, Amy?
Hi, JK. This is Amy, and my title at Doors to Wellbeing is the Special Projects Coordinator, and I'm also the lead in West Virginia. So any of the West Virginia initiatives that are occurring with us, I'm the person that that goes through.
Great.
Amy helped us at Peer Resource Network to, we were trying to fix a logo up and it was pretty messed up, and Amy figured out how to make that a better logo for us. That was one of the services that she's done, and we go back to probably last November where you met Dotsie at out in Pittsburgh. So sometime prior to that, we started planning probably in the fall, right, for community.
That is my, yep, I did get to meet Dotsie. Hi again, Dotsie. Nice to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice.
So one of the things we're going to look at tonight is some of you all may have heard that we're developing another initiative here in West Virginia called the Peer Summit. That peer stands for Power, Education, Experience, and Resilience Summit. And this is going to be held in Buchanan this summer on the 6th and the 7th. What happened was Doors Wellbeing asked me, I believe it was Amy, called me and said, are there any peer conferences in West Virginia? We would like to attend one. And what happened was we discovered there were none. So some of you have heard this story already. And so a few of my allies from my old hometown, we put our heads together and decided, well, we'll just make one. So we started there. And I called Amy and said, you know what, I think we're just going to create a summit. We won't have a conference because we ain't got no money. We can't pay anybody's way or anything like that. But we can have a little get-together with some education and that sort of thing. So this ties in to some degree with Lesson 9 in our book on organizing community advocacy organizations. Go over a couple things about that, and then we would kind of see how we did. Amy and I will play off each other, and Linda's been in on the planning. And if there's something that comes up that matches up, y'all can share with the group how we did. We didn't do everything. But we did most things. So here we go. The benefits of Lesson 9 are it facilitates empowerment and self-sufficiency. It helps us to speak for ourselves. It builds strength in numbers and creates positive community and system change. So it unifies for common goals as well. So how in the world? Oh, I'm going backwards. Hold on here. So there's some steps that are recommended for organizing. First, a network. Network with others having similar beliefs and concerns. Check. What we did was we only had 35 seats, and I took about 50 people, so Linda and I and all of us knew, you know, as much as we could, and sent out an email to see if they would be interested in attending this event. But prior to that, Amy helped us with some structural stuff when you set up the registration links, right, Amy?
Yep. Yes, I did help with a lot of the structural stuff, and that was registration links, and then also, you know, sending out thank you for registering emails, a lot of the proposals for people that were interested in doing workshops, we also supported with that process, and then, of course, informing the people that were selected. Kind of the way I look at it is we've been like kind of the backbone to a lot of the planning committee and just addressing all of these needs so that the conversation can happen and all of our thoughts collectively could come together and we can continue to make this committee and summit of what we're hearing is wanted and needed in West Virginia.
Right. And, you know, we did set regular meeting times. We built success, didn't we? We, as near as we could figure out what's the next step, we made those steps attainable and doable and, you know, we'll have to have a super big party before we get started up there because, you know, for us, this is an undertaking we don't always get involved in. And to have the technical assistance of Doors to Well-Being, which is an honor, too, folks, for us to have the Technical Assistance Center come down and assist us in the actual facilitation of this process.
JK, I think I heard someone else come online.
That's
yeah,
me. It's Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, everybody.
So we were going over Lesson 9, organization. We were talking a little bit about the early setup with the registration links and things like that. We networked with others with similar beliefs and concerns, and we set meetings as we've gone along. And you have participated in at least one of those, right, Emily?
Yep.
Okay. So we set a location initially, and we thought that it would be cool if we could get 35 people there. So remember earlier I mentioned I sent out 50 invitations. Out of those, we had more than 35 registered. Is that right, Amy?
Yeah, so we sent out invitations, and we had a really, really positive interest in this summit, you know, so much that JK, I'm sure you have the next good news that we had to switch locations so that we could accommodate so many people that were interested in this peer event so that we can come together, network, and learn and really unite for, you know, a lot of the same purpose of just building this consumer network throughout the state.
It has been a surprising response for me. Because this is a drum that Linda and I have been beating since the consumers shut down, especially from the type of work that we're all familiar with on the education and advocacy side. Leadership Academy is about all we got left. And so it would be good to have a group of people that would do more with that than we do with the Leadership Academy. We give them the nuts and bolts, but we need somebody to lead the band, too. So we worked on spreading the word to some degree with word of mouth and using a flyer that's been updated a few times. We picked a quasi-neutral location. It happened to be a church, but this is a church that participates in Celebrate Recovery, and that was the tie-in. Another person from that Buchanan hub of recovery that, you know, is really humming right now. So number four is follow an agenda for the first meeting, and we definitely have done a good job of setting agendas every time we've gotten together and following up on previous efforts. We have allowed different people to lead the agenda, but generally speaking, most of that work as it's compiled since Doors of Wellbeing was receiving most of the information ended up being driven mainly by Amy, and I thank you for that. We would
talk about what we've accomplished so far and where we might go from here and what our next steps might be. So we talk about the importance of advocating for issues, and we do meet regularly and have recruited, new members. Every day I'm getting more and more, the word's out, but yet the word's also out that we're kind of limited, on how many spaces. So a lot of people are kind of curious if they should even register at this point.
Yeah, we talked to one today, didn't we, JK?
Yeah, I had another one today. So along those lines, Amy, where do you think we're at on registration, the actual numbers, and confirmed?
So since the very beginning, we did have two people that informed me that they would not be in attendance. And the other thing about this is that we've been working really hard to make this a free event to people in West Virginia. So we always have to keep in mind that even with this new location, we have the availability to accommodate 60 people. Because it is a free event, it is very likely that there's going to be people that have registered that don't show. It's also possible that there's going to be people that show that didn't register. So we are at our numbers a little bit higher than there's room for, just because, there's this possibility, a very likely possibility, that people are not going to show. So with that being said, our numbers right now are at 65 registered people, and that includes all of us on the committee and everybody that will be presenting.
Yeah, because the committee's about probably 10 people, probably, right?
Yeah, I think about that. And we keep accumulating new committee members. Like you said, Emily was lucky to join in with the call last week, and I'm personally very thankful. Emily's taken a leadership role. Linda's on the call. She's part of it. Doors to Wellbeing, we're slowly bringing more people in. Rachel Weiss, who's one of our team members, is currently building the whole program and the schedule for the whole event. And putting all of that together. So she's starting to come on. And now that we're, 3 weeks away, I think that everybody coming together, and I'm kind of taking the role of just facilitating the process of, let's communicate our needs, let's figure out who's doing what, and just supporting the whole thing coming together. But as we get closer, more people are getting involved, which we're really going to need, as this is a pretty big two-day event we have rolled out, accommodating upwards of 60 people.
Yes. One good sign is when Linda, I had a hotel picked out, but by the time Linda got around to the rooms, they were full, right, Linda?
There was only one room left.
So that's probably a decent indicator, because I had recommended that hotel. It's close by, and it's inexpensive and things like that. It's a little microtel, and I think that a lot of people took up on that. About two out of three are not from Buchanan, and I would say at least a third would be staying overnight, one or two nights, so and traveling a little bit of a distance. We have confirmed people from Huntington, Charleston, as far north as Wheeling, as far west as West Virginia State Line in Martinsburg. So Victor and his wife are coming, and I think there's a couple other Martinsburg folks that are coming. So we got them from the east to the west. As far as you can sling them, they're showing up. So that's pretty awesome. Some heavy hitters coming, too. So, Emily, you're helping some with the actual agenda, right? You're stepping in on what's the product going to look like when people are handed their packets, right?
Yeah, I'm actually almost done with the editing. I'm not sure how that was sort of, I'm not sure how to say it, how how much editing I could do. So basically what I did was I typed up a Word document, and that way I wasn't messing with anything on the program, and I have it pretty formatted. I've done this enough times to where you and Rachel and whoever else can look at it side by side going through the program, and there's suggestions more so. There's a couple things that were just spelling or words duplicated, things like that. But it all looked pretty solid, you know, as far as when things are in the scheduling itself, that it just didn't seem like it needed much editing. It was mostly just little grammatical things. You know what I'm saying?
So, as near as you remember, can you share with the group what the general concept looks like over these 2 days?
Hang on, I can pull it up on my laptop. Give me just a second, and I'll tell you. It looked pretty, it was pretty good. Not too much in one day, and I thought it left a lot of time. Hang on. Okay, I'll pull it up here. Sorry, guys. Okay. So, basically, she's got it to where we've got day one. There we go. So, on day one, we're going to have 9 a.m. is registration networking, or 2 9 a.m. is registration and networking, 9 to 9:30, welcome and opening remarks. That's JK and Linda. And then 9:30 to 10:30 is Miss Amy Gamble. And then we'll have a break from 10:30 to 10:45, or I would assume if she got done a little early, then it would be from that time. And then from 10:45 to noon, we have Susie Mullins and Shasta. And then noon to 1, we have lunch. And then 1 to 2 is the choice of 2 meetings. And it's peer support for veterans or supporting each other through DBSA, peer support groups. We'll have another break from 2 to 2:15. And then 2:15 to 3:30 is Gina Calhoun and Amy. And then 3:30 to 4 is a debrief and close. So you'd be done by 4, which I think is plenty of time. I think 9 to 4 is not, with all those breaks in there, I think that's pretty great. And the second day is structured pretty much the same without the registration. So that was one question I had. Do we have anybody that's coming only for a day that there would need to be somebody around for registration on that day, on the second day?
Well, I know that we have 2 volunteers from a local DBSA group that I don't know if they're attending. They might have registered. I think they did. Kay Sanders and Russ Meiselgirl. So I think they're going to attend as well as do the registration. And the second day, I think we can kind of ask them if they would play that by ear in the early going. So on the second day, we open up with another opening statement, and then we have one more educational event, I think, on the second day. Is that right? It's Eileen Wildenauer.
Yep.
How are you saying that? Wildenauer?
Uh-huh. Wildenauer.
Yeah, she's going to do compassion fatigue, a little overview on that, and bring it down home to us about, you know, not a lot of technical stuff, but a lot about how you survive being a peer supporter. And then the majority of the rest of the day will be spent doing a facilitated process. Amy, could you share with the group what that sort of looks like?
Sure, absolutely. So basically on the second day, Eileen's going to go ahead and do her presentation, and there's also going to be like a morning speaker, and I think at this point I have been volunteered to do this, JK, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that yet. So we'll have to talk more about that later in our next planning meeting. But after those two things in the morning, Doors to Wellbeing is going to be facilitating a strategic planning session, which is basically going in with the idea of formulating this statewide peer coalition. And we're going to go in and try and help people work through what are some of the resources that you have to support you in doing this, what are some of the barriers that might come up. But alongside of this statewide peer coalition, we also want to hear from other people in West Virginia what the needs are as it relates to providing peer support and being able to collectively come together addressing and making change for mental health within West Virginia. So even though we're going in with this intent to form a peer coalition, based on the needs that everybody in West Virginia is bringing to the table, this might change the session a little bit because we really want to validate and honor where people who are living in this state are coming from. And we're going to pretty much just drive and facilitate this process of action planning, of, you know, being able to identify some of the barriers that are going to get in the way, and through a group process, come up with all of the things that we can do to, one, stay empowered to reach these goals that we're identifying, and two, you know, really just be able to overcome anything that's getting in the way. So as a result of this planning session, in whatever direction it chooses to go, we are then going to be learning who some of the really, really invested stakeholders are for these issues. So let's say, you know, we do go with this whole idea of forming a peer coalition. And JK and Linda and Emily are three people that are really interested in staying involved. We're going to identify these people as key stakeholders that we're going to start regular meetings with so that after this strategic planning session, Doors to Wellbeing is going to start the draft of a white position paper so that we can then, when we continue to meet with these folks, these stakeholders, again, drive a process of getting this white position paper to the policymakers in West Virginia, to, you know, the people that are really going to be able to support the change that all of the peer supporters want to see. And, you know, maybe this will be for, you know, we want to get the funding so that a conference like this can happen on an annual basis. And then we're just going to continue to drive that process and help this change happen in West Virginia. So I hope that that's making sense to people, but that is my understanding of why we're having the strategic planning, and our intent is really just to help establish and make the needed changes that peer supporters in West Virginia want to see.
Well done. Any questions on the process that we're getting the white paper written up? Wow, you're really good. Hey, Amy, our guest, by the way, did a keynote speech at Wrap Around the World recently. So she's really getting out there, and congratulations on that, Amy. I wish I could have been there. Now, there is a little clip somewhere that people might be able to look at. Is that right?
Yep. So thanks for the announcement, JK. For those of you that were on the call earlier, JK said, you know, hey, we're going to wait because we don't want to tell the news too soon. I believe that's the news that you were talking about.
Exactly.
And it was really exciting. It was my first ever keynote. There's about 350 people in the audience. So, of course, my nerves were all over the place. But I survived through it, and I had a standing ovation at the end, so that was really exciting. And, yeah, you know, it was just a really great opportunity. The video it's about the first, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes of what I had to say. But I'm a person that likes to express a lot of gratitude. So the video that is on Facebook right now is more of me just thanking who I felt really inclined to honor and thank during my speech. And then I also had to, like, share some of the housekeeping needs for the conference. So that's kind of what the video takes on, which is kind of sad to me because I really wanted to see my recovery story part of the video. But I do not believe that that was filmed. So if anybody is interested in seeing what was captured, there is a Facebook page called RAP Facilitators, and it is on that Facebook group. Is there anybody here that is a RAP facilitator currently?
Well, you know two of us already. You helped us get there.
JK and Linda. So I think that, you know, when I hear things like that, you know, JK, that's something else that really makes me interested in supporting West Virginia and getting more RAP facilitators. And I think that, you know, from Doors to Wellbeing side of things, JK and Linda's big news is that they have both recently become advanced level RAP facilitators. So we'd also like to continue moving forward in driving the process of getting RAP throughout the state of West Virginia. And, of course, we're working closely with Linda and JK in making that happen, too.
I would actually, Amy, suggest that maybe you mention something about it at this summit because I agree, and there's a couple programs. There's, like, WAM and some others, too. But I think the more that we can integrate that into people who are becoming recovery coaches as part of a process, like a follow-up thing, if they want to do that, that I think that would be amazing because I just think they're great programs that not everybody knows about or has access to. And I'd say that's a room full of people that should hear a little bit more about it and how that process works. It's just a thought.
Well, really, that's the reason JK and I decided when we were given the chance to do it that we had no advanced facilitators to train, just regular facilitators from West Virginia. And since the Consumers Association had gone down, you know, we were afraid that RAP was not being used, and we wanted certified facilitators back out there.
That's actually like kind of how I found you and JK, Miss Linda, aside from my dad, is that I was doing research on WAM, mm-hmm. and I was told by my dad that all this funding, they had put, he and Dave Sanders had put a ton of effort into getting 25 people certified in WAM. And basically through what I found through a bunch of interviews and stuff and so on was that WAM wasn't allowing a train-the-trainer program. And so the people that we had trained and certified in WAM were sort of in more administrative positions. Mm-hmm. And of all the people I talked to, nobody was using it. And so it was a shame. And so I'm happy to hear Amy, especially that you will be at this conference because I think that we need as many avenues with this kind of thing and these more holistic programs as we can get, for sure.
And Emily, I like the fact that you mentioned that our recovery coaches need more tools in their toolbox than just that 5-day course, and I agree with you.
Definitely. I just, even with the health side of it and that more holistic side of it, there's only so much you can accomplish in a half a day.
I know.
So,
mm-hmm. Anyway. So I'm actually wondering, you know, based on this conversation, you know, so for the second morning of this peer summit, we were kind of up in the air of who that morning speaker would be. So in the planning meetings, that was the only piece that we hadn't quite figured out yet. So this morning I actually had a meeting with some of the other employees of Doors to Wellbeing, and we talked about Letty, who's from California, that's flying in to be a part of this summit, possibly doing the lead on this second day, but internally we wanted to present to the planning committee that maybe me doing this opening on the second day would be the most ideal for our needs from Doors to Wellbeing, and we wanted to present that. So based on this conversation right now, I'm wondering how people would feel about if I share a little bit about, you know, my own journey with RAP and what that's meant for me, and then also sharing about, you know, who we are as Doors to Wellbeing and how we can continue to support RAP as an evidence-based practice coming into West Virginia and really just taking the lead, not only for, you know, supporting those that we serve, but supporting us in our journeys. As we all know, like, we do hard work, and we have to be able to take care of ourselves to help others. So, you know, I could almost open the second day with this, how RAP has supported me, how it's led me to a career that I absolutely love, and how we just want to be able to share this with others so that others can find and continue to spread holistic health approaches across West Virginia.
I think that would be great, especially given how much you got, and obviously I came into this game a little bit late, but I think it would be a phenomenal way to acknowledge Doors to Wellbeing and their involvement and how and why. And I know, JK, I read your little bio and your story, and there's bits and pieces, you know, about how you guys came in and the impact. But I think that would be a phenomenal thing, especially including the RAP thing and then going into the strategic planning. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. I think it'd be wonderful.
Well, I do too, because personally, RAP was one of the things that helped me grow. That and Leadership Academy. Leadership Academy taught me that I could have a voice. RAP taught me that what I needed to know about myself to maintain my wellness and that voice.
I think that was beautifully said, Miss Linda.
So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
I do think it's important also, thinking about a lot of the people that I know that are going to be there tend to be doers and givers, and I think it is really important to reintegrate that need for self-care. And I think RAP does a great job at doing that. And, yeah, if it would become a more normal thing in the state, and it seems like us having this conference at all is a huge step in the right direction, that this is a good time to sort of put that foot in too.
Well, Ardella Dotsie, jump in there.
I think the ideas are great. I'm just sorry I'm not going to be able to attend.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, it sounds phenomenal.
How about you, JK? What are your thoughts?
Yeah,
you're awfully quiet over there, JK.
I usually don't get to talk this much, so...
Well, I'm enjoying hearing you talk, Linda.
Thank you.
Me too.
Maybe JK left us.
I was going to say he may have gotten cut off, disconnected.
You know what? I pushed the mute button.
So, in other words, he's been talking for the last half hour, and we didn't know.
They should do that a little bit more.
That's how I got to talk.
Just kidding.
That is true. I was looking at myself in the mirror a few times.
There's a shock.
So I wish you could come, Dotsy, because of your interest in, you know, the things that you see. You've seen something that I didn't know was lurking beneath the surface of West Virginia and what's going on with one of the things that you've taken up, and I was hoping that you could be there to, you know, network folks.
Well, I'm 6 and 7. Let me look and see. I think I've overextended myself. And that we are doing a lot with post-traumatic stress, and that is all depression, that all those things that feed in. We have a good group. Sometimes we have 4. Sometimes once we had 6, and the next week we'll have 17. So you never know. But I will try my best to see if I can get away with from get out of what I'm doing for somebody.
But, right.
And I'll get to see everybody.
Right. Have you got a little gig now you're working?
No, not at all. I don't, but I've obligated myself to help somebody with some things. And let me see what I can come up with.
I see. Well, we're always here to support you.
I know. I'll give you a call.
Okay. But one of the things that I heard that you were interested in I'm trying to think of the word for it, the words for it. It's something to do with the sex trade and how pervasive that really is in West Virginia. And that's kind of one of the things. Yeah.
Well, we're trying to bring to the forefront about human trafficking and what's going on right on Highway 81. And we're seeing a lot of that. We're education and awareness. And we hope that we're making the difference. We're talking to our senators and our representatives and our city officials. That is another thing that I seem to be right in the throes of. We do have a chapter now that started with at Shepherd University. So we're real excited about that. And then we've got the labor trafficking, of course, throughout. We're just bringing about awareness. But thank you for bringing that up.
I thought that was something that, you know, would have been nice to have that input, because that's something you don't, something you don't think about a lot when we've got all these drug issues, but it's very, very related to all of that. So
absolutely.
I really admire that you are really taking the lead and trying to inform the communities of things like this occurring. And sometimes I feel like when really difficult subjects come up, it's so easy for us to turn our heads and, you know, almost act like it doesn't happen because it's such a hard thing to grasp. But I just really admire that you have the strength to be able to raise awareness to this in our community, because my heart genuinely goes out to these people that go through something like this. And I think as a nation in general, we need to stop turning our heads to it. And I just really admire the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. It's all for the betterment of mankind. I just want children now, the most vulnerable age now is 9 to 13. And the little boys and girls are being trafficked every day. So we have to stay aware and teach people how to take care of their children, and for the community to see something, say something.
What did you say those ages again was?
9 to 13.
Oh, wow. My grandchildren's not going to get out of my sight.
I know. That's the way I am. I'm paranoid about it because they'll snatch them up. We're finding out, too, that some of the horrors that after they're trafficked, until the age of 20, they're usually, and after that, they're used up. They literally dispose of them, just kill them, throw them in the river, throw them in meat grinders. I mean, I've heard horrific stories about what we do to each other. It's so sad. So I try to keep positive, but I want people to know that it's happening in every town. It's happening in every community.
We're working with
a girl now who's 13, but she had been molested since the age of 6. So that's when her first memory. Now, we don't know anything about that before that because a lot of times younger, it blots out. And she struggles with depression and bipolar. So we're just working with her, talking to her, letting her know that she's loved and cared for. She has a great therapist, so who understands. It's out there.
Thank you for doing kind of work, taking on the hard stuff.
Well, thank you. Just keep me in your prayers. I'm not everybody's favorite. They'll say things, don't talk about stuff like that. It's like, really?
Yeah, we're turning our heads, basically.
Yes.
We've got, I have 6:52 right now, so I wanted to turn the conversation back toward this lesson 9. And they talked about recruiting techniques, and I think that we did a good job this evening of attractive aspects of what we're trying to do. Linda has obtained the right to allow for these training sessions to be count toward the credits necessary for peers in their recovery coach recertification. So, good job on that, Linda. That was one of the things that we wanted to try to work in was credits for that. And
great job, Linda. Great job.
Absolutely.
Well, we had talked about it, and, you know, we said, well, why not give it a try? And I talked to two of the members of the certification board, and they said, well, send it to the committee. We can't tell you. So it's not for all the fancy ones, but it is for the recovery community.
Mm-hmm.
That is just
so
awesome.
As we've gone along, we've given people something to do. We brought in people as we felt we needed to cover some strengths. We talked about that before with adding Amy and Rachel. Emily and Rachel toward the end here to help do some things that maybe some of us didn't have the skills to do. Of course, we'll have a sign-up sheet for our meetings. And one thing that we have not done yet is we have not done a lot of networking with other programs. I guess we did. We have with Consumer Run Services and got some referrals and some people interested in attending like that. Our next meeting, Amy, I'd like for you to make a note of this. We need to think about what are we going to do with the local newspapers and media. Matt Kerner has a tremendous appeal locally, and he could really probably get people there. So I hope he's on that call so that we could get that done, get some press coverage of the event. So, you know, that's probably really – when I look at things that are going on regarding this organizational setup, that's probably the last piece that we still have time. We don't want to tell them too soon anyway, but we got time to put that together and put that out to the media. So,
Hey, JK, this is Ardella. Let me briefly jump ahead, because I know me and you have talked about the Train the Trainers for Leadership Academy in August.
Yes.
And if there's anything special you would like me to do, I would like you to send it to me, please.
Okay.
I want time to work on stuff.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
we'll probably...
I don't like that thrown under the bus time.
Oh, I was thinking about throwing you to the wolves this time.
Hey, she's worked with us long enough to know we throw each other under the bus all the time.
Yes, he does.
Ardell was brought in, Amy, this is pretty funny. Ardell was brought in to shadow our Leadership Academy, kind of bringing her in easy. And, boy, we baptized her by fire. One of the people didn't show up. And said, you're up the bat, girl. Get in there. So she was swinging.
It was not only Leadership Academy. It's been the regional task force also.
Yes, I've turned you under the bus on that a couple times.
Yeah, we've done that too.
That's confidence. He had confidence in you, Ardella. This is Dotsie.
Yep.
You had great confidence in her.
Well, thank you.
So, you know, I think that when I look at this overall, I'm kind of reviewing this. That's probably the only avenue that we did invite, now that I think about it, stakeholders from across the board, state providers, peers, peer providers, and groups, you know, to attend this event. So I think we did as much as we could. I was just surprised that throwing out 50 names and filling up really surprised me. So one thing this sort of indicated to me, I wouldn't want to lay this out to the funders, but isn't it interesting that people are willing to show up even without the thing being paid for? That shows something we didn't really think would happen. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
That shows you where the passion is.
Yeah. Yeah. So another thing, too, is I've always found that I've done better getting my programs funded when I've run them for a little while to show that they have some value and some worth before I just throw out an idea and hope that they fund it. You know, so, you know, most drop-in centers and different projects that I've done have started out on a volunteer, no funding basis, and once we've got a little bit of oomph in our pants, then we can ask for a little help, and I think that does a lot, too, to secure the likelihood of funding, you know, look at what people want to do here, you know, having a little funding might help that structure, so. At any rate, I know that we're coming up to the end of the hour, 6:58, and Amy has been gone forever, and she got a visiting grandma. So I'd like for everybody to say so long to Amy so she can check out.
Bye, Amy. Look forward to meeting you in July.
Bye, Amy. Bye, everyone. Thanks for allowing me to be on the call today. I look forward to meeting everybody in about a month. And, JK, I really appreciate you being mindful of my wellness during this call as well. So have a great rest of your meeting, everybody, and I will talk to you all very soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Before we close the call, I wanted to discuss a little bit with the group about we have a steering committee, and I think Dotsie was on the call today, right, Dotsie?
Yes.
So we had a lot to cover. We basically covered any Shazam moments from the statement of work for the Leadership Academy and kind of verified what the role, the actual intent role of the steering committee is, and kind of went through the rest of the stuff and got a brief report that most of you already know about with the Leadership Academy. I'll say that we've scheduled a couple ideas for next year. We're going to go to Petersburg in the second week of May for 3 days. Pack your bags, Ardella. And we're going to do one in Charleston again, probably if we can get the location. I imagine we will be able to get it sometime in mid-March rather than wait until April, because what's happening is with that third week in May, we are bumping into some other peer issues that is making people less likely to attend. So I want to move that one up and pray for good weather in mid-March. And then we'll do the usual routine of August, train the trainer, and then September we'll go to Wheeling or somewhere up in that neck of the woods. So that's kind of already formulating next year's agenda. One of the things that we would like to do is another webinar, and I'd like for you guys to think about, you know, some topics that you might be willing to share or present on during a webinar. We'll probably do that the second Monday. We'll forego our call and do it the second Monday in January. So we'll start asking for proposals and take a look at things and, you know, do a little pre-planning sort of on a mini case basis, and then hold a webinar the second Monday in January. This is intended to provide some sort of follow-up on the lessons. And the calls, monthly calls, are going to be more guided toward some information, but also on showing how, like we did tonight, you know, are we using these lessons? How are we doing relative to that blueprint? And, you know, are we covering those bases? So all these things are just ways to remind us we've got some tools that are invaluable in organizing and outreach. And, you know, this is how you see them in action. So thank you all for joining this evening's call. And I will ask if anyone has any further comments, and then I will turn off the recording. This is the part where you say, great call.
Great call. We enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great call.
No, I have no problem being the ham. So I'm going to shut down the recording, and thank you all for your attendance. We're 3 minutes over, so I hate to do that to you. Have a great night, and it looks like we still got some sunshine left, so enjoy.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.